Hey there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Thanks so much for stopping by to spend a little time with me. On today's show, we'll look at the mass readings for Tuesday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. Plus, we'll feature a visit with Bobby Schindler to talk a little bit about the work that he does. Bobby does such great work. Something that he started after his sister, Terry Schiavo, and he'll get into this a little bit, after she was essentially starved to death. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. So Bobby does full-time work now to support the medically defenseless, people who can't defend themselves and who are subjected to all kinds of, sadly, who are subjected oftentimes to the withdrawal of medical treatment. People make decisions for them. So Bobby's going to be with us today to talk about a little bit about his work. We did this interview a few weeks ago on A Spirit in the Morning, so I wanted to feature it on today's show. Today is the memorial for St. Alphonsus Liguori. He was a confessor, a beloved bishop, a doctor of the church, and he was the founder of the Redemptorist Order. We will ask him to pray for us today. I have a special connection to St. Alphonsus Liguori because the Redemptorists are responsible for Liguori Publications, who've published my first three books. So I've got somewhat of a connection to the Redemptorists. Anyway, glad to have you with me on the program today. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, sometimes we come to you, we feel helpless. We look at things that are happening in our lives, we don't understand them. We don't like them. We wish they would change. We don't know why things work out or don't work out. And sometimes we get frustrated. We question, why is this happening? Why didn't my plans work out? Why am I not getting better from my sickness? Why am I not making more money so I can pay my bills? Oftentimes you'll give us the answer. Other times you say, just trust me. Well, it's hard to trust, Jesus. It's hard to trust when we come to you with problems like this sometimes. But, you know, we love you. We know you love us. We're going to ask you to help us to trust you more. Please continue to guide us. Grant us relief from our problems, whatever they may be. Let us feel your peace. Jesus, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on me today as I do this program, and speak through me. I don't even have a clue about the message that you have for us today. You've got such a better clue than I do, Lord. So I'm going to relinquish control to you, give you control of this program, because you will not force your way into my life just as you won't force your way into anybody's life. So I'm going to give you control, Lord, and say, please take over, help me out, give me the words today, speak through me using your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we're very grateful for your constant presence in our life, and along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you reign forever and ever. One God, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us. Well, a little bit of a different prayer today. I think sometimes I try to keep it real, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we all struggle. We look at things in our lives, we just don't get why they're happening. We get a little frustrated. It is unfortunately too easy to just give up. Please don't give up. Jesus loves you. Jesus is all powerful. And if for some reason, take this from me, if for some reason things aren't turning out the way you expect, that is somehow an expression of his love for you. I know it's tough. I know sometimes you're just not going to get it. Sometimes I just don't get it. Sometimes I'm at the point where I just want to scream. But he knows what he's doing. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's try to trust him. And let's continue to talk to him, whether or not we're feeling it. You know, you're going to have days when you feel it. You're going to have days when you don't feel it. The best thing that you can do, and I say this to myself, believe me, the best thing that we all can do is to keep going, whether or not we feel like it. Because if we say we love Jesus, and we only turn to Him and pray on those days when it feels good, how much do we really love Him? In all honesty. But instead, aren't we just loving to feel good? Right? If the only reason I pray, the only time I pray is when it feels good, then I'm praying because it feels good, not because I love Jesus. So keep on keeping on and keep praying. Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. Very quickly, Patreon, the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, debuted officially today. I've been telling you about it for a while. Well, now it is open for business. So if you're somebody who worries, you want to check this podcast out, the easiest thing for you to do is go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the image. You see an image with the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast, little button there on the right-hand side toward the top. Click on that. That will take you to patreon.com/GaryZ, which is my page. That's where you can sign up to get the podcast. The first edition, first weekly episode of Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled is up there, ready for your downloading whenever you want. And also, the first installment for day one of One Day at a Time, which is my daily little supplement, that's available too for August the 1st, which is today. So that's all there. And I would encourage you to give it a shot, to sign up. Currently, I don't have anybody signed up because it's new. It's just hit the streets today officially. Again, I've been telling you about it, but nobody else knew about it. The word is starting to slowly get out there. So please, if you're a worrier, don't do it by yourself. Let's do it together. And I don't spend a lot of time on this program or on Spirit of the Morning talking about anxiety. I focus on it. I wanted to have a special podcast that is specifically tailored for anxiety. All right. So if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Time for the Mass readings. The first reading for today's Mass, which is Tuesday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time, is from the book of Exodus, beginning in chapters 33, verse 7. The tent, which was called the meeting tent, Moses used to pitch at some distance away outside the camp. Anyone who wished to consult the Lord would go to this meeting tent outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, the people would all rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. On seeing the column of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship at the entrance of their own tents. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one man speaks to another. Moses would then return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, would not move out of the tent. Now, one of the things to consider about what's going on here and why it's different for you and me is that at this time, Moses, who was a prophet, was the interface between God and the people. The people weren't dealing with God. People were dealing with Moses. The Israelites were. These are the Lord's people. Remember, he had gathered a people of his own. And this all started when the Lord first called Abraham to leave his homeland. But Moses would deal with the people, and God would deal with Moses. You and I, we have it different. First of all, we have access to Jesus Christ, who is the full revelation of this same God, our Heavenly Father. You can speak directly to Jesus. So you have an advantage that Moses and the people did not have. That's an advantage. So you can talk to Jesus. We just spoke to him a few minutes ago. How cool is that? Jesus Christ, Lord and Master of the universe, is your friend. And he waits for you. Remember, amazingly enough, he doesn't force his way into your life. He waits for you to come to him. And I'm going to ask you, have you spoken with Jesus today? Have you talked to him? If not, make it a point to chat with Jesus. He really wants to hear from you. He really wants to hear from you. Now, let's continue on with this reading. Moses stood there with the Lord and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations, and forgiving wickedness and crime and sin, yet not declaring the guilty guiltless, but punishing children and grandchildren to the 3rd and 4th generation for their father's wickedness. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Why did he do that? Because he was encountering the Lord. He bowed down to the ground in worship. How do you respond when you talk to the Lord? Or even more importantly, when you go into a church and Jesus is present in the Eucharist. I mean, really present, not a spiritual presence. Do you respect the fact that that's really him? Moses certainly got it here. And he bowed down. Then Moses said, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own." So the Lord is talking. I mean, Moses is talking to the Lord and saying that the people, they're stubborn, they're complainers. And he's asking the Lord on behalf of the people to pardon them. Pardon these people, Lord. This is what Jesus does for us. This is what he did for us in the most powerful way possible when he gave his life voluntarily on the cross for our sins. So you see, there's definitely a foreshadowing of what is going to be happening in the future here. So Moses stayed there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating any food or drinking any water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So you see what's happening, this incredible encounter that Moses is having with the Lord. I mean, how powerful is that? And he's staying there for 40 days and 40 nights, representing the people, saying, "Forgive these people, Lord." Think about the fact that Jesus Christ did the same for you and continues to do that. He is the intermediary between you and your heavenly Father. Now, it doesn't mean you can't talk to the Father. We often do. When I start the prayers, I talk to the Father. But if you notice, I'll always say, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, because all of our prayers technically go through Jesus to the Father, because Jesus became man, you and I, we have access to our Heavenly Father. You know, it's just a lot to think about in these readings today, just to appreciate this great relationship that you have available to you, the relationship with your Heavenly Father, which is made possible through Jesus Christ. Psalm 103, "The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Fear of the Lord. "Lord, I'm sorry. You're all powerful, Lord. You love me. I'm sorry I messed up. I'm sorry I don't trust you. I'm sorry I sinned. I'm sorry for so many things." He's merciful. But you know what you have to do, what I have to do? We have to ask for his mercy. We can't just expect him to forgive us. You can't forgive somebody unless they say, "I'm sorry." That's the way it works. So again, just as Jesus won't force his way into our lives, we will not be forgiven for our sins unless we seek, what, that forgiveness. Sacrament of confession. It's a great sacrament. Make sure you take advantage of it. As soon as you can, if it's been a while, make sure you get back to confession. It's a great, great, great sacrament. The gospel is from Matthew 13, verses 36 through 43. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears ought to hear. Tough message. Reminder for us, evil exists. Don't get upset when you see evil in the world. You even see evil in the church. It exists. The Lord is going to let evil exist along with good. He's not going to wipe it out. Again, that whole free will thing comes into play. The reason we need to remember this is because sometimes we get so panicked when we see bad people, because nobody's bad, but people do bad things. And we panic. We think, oh, this is terrible. Everything's falling apart. Somebody did something wrong. Well, Jesus talked about this. Judas was one of the apostles. Peter betrayed him too, you know. Peter repented, but at the time, Peter was pretty nasty. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus allowed it to happen. You are going to see people do the wrong things from time to time. You're going to do the wrong things. Probably today, you and me both are going to sin in some way, either by omission or commission, whatever it is. Repentance. That's all part of the game, right? You never know when somebody's going to repent. It might take years. It took me a long time before I finally turned around and said, you know what? I'm doing a pretty lousy job being a Catholic, Lord. I'm really sorry. It takes a lot of us a really long time. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is you can't give up on anybody. Be patient. If the Lord is patient with me, patient with you, you need to be patient with your brothers and sisters around you who are driving you crazy and who don't get it. Talked to Brian Mercier on my program, Spirit in the Morning, today. Brian's a guy who deals with a lot of atheists. We talked about that. How do you not want to smash these people when you're trying to convince them of the existence of God and they're coming at you and attacking you? I'll tell you how. A lot of grace and self-control, because otherwise you could do a lot of damage. So let's be patient with one another. And let's repent of our sins, knowing that the Lord loves us and will forgive us. When we come back, Bobby Schindler will talk about the work he does with the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Foundation. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Five orphan siblings from Peru are now living in Blue Springs, Missouri, thanks to the welcoming hearts of Lauren and Scott Sterling. As reported in the Daily Mail, the siblings, ranging from ages 9 to 17, had been living in a Peruvian orphanage for 7 years since their parents died of tuberculosis. They insisted on staying together, making the likelihood of adoption slim to none. But when a friend of the Sterlings visited the orphanage in 2011, he encouraged the kid to write a letter to them asking if they would adopt them. Though it took the Sterlings a while to reach a decision, Lauren finally said to Scott, "Somebody's got to do it. Why shouldn't it be us?" Then, out of selflessness and love, a new family was born. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
We are blessed to be joined right now by Bobby Schindler. Bobby is the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, and he joins us. Bobby's a regular guest on the program. He joins us now. Good morning, Bobby. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am well. Bobby, I want to talk to you a little bit about... I was thinking, at some point, we've talked about this a little in the past, I want to talk about how you got in. I mean, I think everybody knows the story, hopefully, of your sister, Terry Schiavo. I want to talk at some point about how you got involved and started doing this on a full-time basis. But before I do that, I want to get your thoughts on a case that's on everybody's mind, the Charlie Gard case.
Sure. Well, clearly it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. What happened this week was just, it was unexpected. I, as you might know, or as reported that the family decided that they were going to withdraw their petition.
Right.
And now they're just determining when, I guess, the best way for Charlie to pass. I was just a little surprised that the parents, you know, decided that they were going to withdraw.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise, too. It was looking, that seemed to come out of the blue.
Yeah, it was, because they were so dedicated to fighting, but I guess the doctor from New York had given them some news where Charlie was going to respond to the treatment that they were offering to provide for him. And,
right.
And I guess the parents were told that the best thing would to be, to do what they're doing now with in regards to, what should be done in his best interest.
Bobby, when we look at this case, you know, as a parent myself, to me it's unimaginable what happened. What can we learn from this situation? What's the way? I mean, obviously, this is a wake-up call for all of us. What do we need to be aware of, and what do we do about it?
Well, that's something I've been saying. We've been just the reality of our health care today, Gary.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not guaranteed that we're going to get provided certain care anymore.
Wow.
And the way the hospitals work today, we have ethics committees that are part of every hospital in the United States, where they can now make decisions if there's a dispute, or if the hospital decides that they're not going to provide certain care to an individual. The ethics committee can come in and recommend that they stop treatment. And when that happens, Gary, there's pretty much nothing parents can do, or whoever it is that's caring for the loved one, to get them care. So they, at that point, they basically have to look to transfer them to another facility. So that's where there's a difference here, I think. When we look at what happened with Charlie, in the United States, typically, if this does happen, this scenario where they're going to stop treatment,
right,
and the family can find another facility, the hospital will typically allow them to be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think so many people are looking at Charlie's case and shaking their heads and are outraged, because Charlie's parents found another facility. They found a doctor that was going to treat him, and the hospital still said, no, we're not going to allow you to take Charlie and release him to get this treatment.
Right, right. That's what I found unbelievable. So what's the difference? What caused that? What gave them that authority?
Well, great question.
Right? I mean, because if we look at that here in the U.S., we're thinking, well, good thing it doesn't happen here, but who's to say it won't happen here someday?
Well, don't get me wrong here. It's happened in the United States where the hospital has said, for whatever reasons, that we're not going to allow you to transfer. And it just depends on the situation.
Okay.
But typically they will allow families to transfer their patients or their loved one. But so it's a very disturbing and troubling case what we're seeing, and I think that's why it's getting the publicity and why the parents are getting such an outpouring of support with their efforts.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to thank you for all you've done to call attention to this case. Bobby, I was traveling over the past week. I was in Cleveland speaking, spending some time on the plane, praying, asking the Lord what direction we should go with this show. And I do this a lot. And you popped into my mind. And I thought, you know what? I want to give you a chance in the time we have here, because you're so grateful. We're so grateful to you for being on the program. To pay tribute to your sister, Terry Schiavo, I want to make sure that she is not forgotten. And I also want to give you a chance to explain what got you into what you do now. I mean, obviously, it has to do with Terry, but your life took a radical change. And you are now a champion for those who can often not defend themselves. So if you would, spend a few minutes, talk about your sister. I know that some of the details aren't out there. They get misconstrued. You hear she was brain dead, she was in a vegetative state, whatever the case. If you would, talk about Terry for a few minutes, and then explain what motivated you to do what you do, because I know what you do is not easy, my friend.
Well, thanks, Gary. Well, some of what you just said, I did not want anybody to forget my sister and what they did to her, and the fact that what happened to Terry is happening every single day in our nation. I mean, every day, depending on the circumstances, people are being starved and dehydrated. They're having their care denied, which is similar to Terry, which is food and water through a feeding tube.
Yeah.
So, our family, and it was our entire family that decided we were going to start a nonprofit. Yeah. So after Terry died, we just saw what we went through with her, how there was really no organization out there I mean, Gary, when this started with my family, we went looking for an organization that could help us defend my sister, and there was they weren't out there.
Wow.
There was pro-life groups all over the country that were defending and fighting against the abortion issue, but there was no one that was picking up this issue.
Right.
So when Terry died, we said, there's got to be something or someone out there that's going to help families, you know, if they're ever in a situation like what we just went through. And that was really what motivated our family to want to start this nonprofit.
Yeah. And that, of course, is the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, right? And Bobby, where's the contact information for that on the web?
It's lifeandhope.com, lifeandhope.com.
Because I'll make sure we link that. But I want to commend you. Now, you were a high school teacher at the time?
I was down in Tampa, Florida. I had been living down there for a number of years, and yes, I was teaching at a Catholic high school in Tampa. And,
wow!
And when this all ordeal, just and you know, to this day, I don't know, you know, why we received all the publicity that it did, because of what I said, Gary. It was happening every day. I mean,
yep.
it was removing people's food and hydration, taking away their feeding tubes was happening often. And it's something our family never, you know, we were naive getting into this battle. We had no idea what we were
right,
up against.
Right, right. But you're in it now. And listen, if there, you know, you have our support. We're going to do our best here at Holy Spirit Radio and Spirit in the Morning to support you in any way that we can. We're going to make sure that your sister's memory is not forgotten. And look, God, I mean, I sympathize, and I'm very sorry that it had to happen to a family member of yours. But there is good that it, God is somehow bringing good out of this through your work. You're saving the lives of other people who are in that situation.
Well, all because of what Terry went through,
yeah.
And you're right. I mean, there have been so many blessings over the years that just we simply would not have experienced if not what our family went through and what Terry went through. So that old saying, what man does for evil, God will turn into good.
I think
we're seeing a lot of that with what happened with my sister. A lot of blessings, Gary.
That's right. Well, listen, my friend, hopefully we'll get to meet in person one day. I know you're headquartered in Philadelphia, and if you're ever in town, make sure we get together and know that you have our full support and our prayers. And Bobby, thanks for being a part of this segment. Thanks for what you do to stand up for the defenseless, and, you know, continued success to you, brother. And if there's anything we can ever do, please let us know.
Well, really, really grateful for your support, Gary. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Protestants argue the Bible disproves Mary's bodily assumption because Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 23 that all will rise at Christ's second coming. But is this true? I don't think so. Sometimes there are exceptions to general norms in the Bible. For example, Hebrews 9:27 states, "It is appointed for men to die once." Can you think of anyone in the Bible that might be an exception to dying once? You guessed it, the folks that rose from the dead when Jesus died on the cross in Matthew 27, and Lazarus. They would all have to die again. So it's at least possible that Mary could be an exception to the general norm that no one is bodily raised before the second coming of Christ. This passage from St. Paul doesn't disprove Mary's bodily assumption. But is she an exception? Well, that's a question we'll have to save for another time. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Well, we are back. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. Always great to have you with us on the program. Remember, if you have any questions about anything I discuss, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address, and I really would love to hear from you. Please keep in mind the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can find out more by going to patreon.com/GaryZ, or just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled button. If you are not a worrier, but maybe you know somebody who is and can use a little extra help, please pass along my information. I would really appreciate that. Well, I am just about out of time. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me on the show. And also, if you could do me a favor, let people know about this podcast as well. I want to get the word out to as many people as possible. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you know what the deal is. The Lord is right by your side. He's waiting for you to turn to Him and to invite Him into your life. Make sure you do that today. And while you're at it, say hi. Will you do that? All right. Take care. God bless you. And until next time, this is Gary Zimak saying thank you for listening. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.